God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you, the listener. This is Pastor Larry. Thank you for tuning in. There are some revealing things happening, and sometimes something that is considered revealing can communicate an energetic message. I'm reading that Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo defended President Trump recently. Mr. Cuomo said that the media did not treat the president with the respect that should be accorded to the President of the United States. He said there are reporters who just are unprofessional, don't know the facts, and ask really biased questions. You know, I think the achievements of President Trump are well known. He recently spoke at a White House briefing for a little over a minute to tout the Dow Jones Industrial Average passing 30,000 for the first time, calling it a sacred number and praising the American people for this milestone. We certainly need to pray for our country and for our president. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, some people talk about the 2024 election, but if things don't go well, there might not be a 2024 election because America will be thrown under the bus. That's how serious the situation is at the present time. We are at the edge of chaos and a total dissolving of our constitutional republic. So, if you applaud atheism, if you like slavery, restricted thought, and want to live in a socialist utopia, you may have an opportunity to enjoy its failures firsthand. We're back with Wallace Henley. In our previous program, we were speaking about his new book, Two Men from Babylon. Thank you, Wallace, for this second interview.
It is a great pleasure to be back with you.
Wallace, I've been personally surprised, and actually it's been a pleasant surprise, that President Trump's graciousness in certain circumstances, soft-spoken tone when speaking to the widow of a serviceman or someone who has suffered some kind of loss. There have been times when he's had an almost pastoral tone. Now, I know the hot tweets overshadows this, but Never Trumpers have now become some of the president's staunchest supporters. But some of the Never Trumpers who have become the president's staunchest supporters have said something like, and we just touched on this in our previous program, but they've said something like, Donald Trump is not a man of God, but he is God's man for the hour. Do you know anything about his devotional life? And I mean, he's so right on so many things. What's your understanding of his heart throb, so to speak?
Well, I don't know much about his practice in his private devotional life. I do know, however, many of the people who are around him, and I can assure you that there is great impetus or great encouragement for him to pursue that, and it may be that that is developing. I also know that there is a thriving staff prayer meeting in the White House, staff prayer group. That's the way I came back to Christ in the Nixon White House, and I think that there's great impact there, so hopefully he's supportive of that and perhaps even attends that from time to time.
I've often thought that most evangelicals today come to the point of thinking that a man of God is kind of a Casper Milquetoast, you know, non-confrontational, sort of a pushover, and because of that misunderstanding of what a man of God really is, some people are quick to say, Donald Trump is not a man of God, but I think of Jesus overturning the tables of the money changers and other things that Jesus did in his earthly ministry. So I think we think, you know, a man of God is a yes man, or that God is an old man in heaven with a long white beard, kind of agreeing with everybody. And I think that's really not what the Bible says about a man or a woman of God. I think there's such a thing as a righteous anger. And, you know, Ephesians 4:26, don't, you know, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So I think there is a place for confrontation. I think we need to be grieved with the things that grieve the hearts of God.
Well, the tenor of this age is a confrontational tenor, a style. And it has been building toward this for quite some time. When Nixon came into office in 1969, Washington was burning just two blocks from the White House. So we've been down through this before. I was working with a task force that had to deal with a group of people, 10,000 of them, who came to Washington vowing to shut down the federal government. So these things have been building for a long time. I think they've reached a kind of a culmination in this hour, and they've been building because the strategy of the enemy, the strategy of the Antichrist, the strategy of anything that is inspired or directed by Antichrist is always fragmentation. The fundamental struggle in the universe since the fall is between cosmos and chaos. Cosmos representing order, chaos representing profound disorder. And so consequently, there's a buildup in human social and political and cultural structures that come to a head, if you will. And I think we're in that time, and I would believe that Donald Trump and his very aggressive personality, and I've heard some other people, some former Never Trumpers say this, that his tone is what is needed. It's combative, but we're fighting for the future of this nation as never before. You and I are of a certain age. I won't name that age, but you and I are of a certain age, and we've seen a lot of presidential elections. And I'm sure you, as I, have heard many people say, oh, this next election is the most important in our history. Many, many times, the reality is this one really is. So far in our history, this will be the most important. It's going to take that strength. It's going to take that determination and that willingness to confront.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because there's one party that is so radical. It used to be, you know, if you voted Republican and you got a Democrat, it wasn't a tragedy. But now it's a whole new order. Mr. Biden says that if he's elected within 100 days, he's going to push through the Equality Act. And I've read the Equality Act. I can't believe it. Even for a same-sex attracted person who wants help, you know, if somebody comes to you or me and says, you know, I'm gay, but I realize it's wrong, could you help me? We're not supposed to give any help. We're just, I mean, that just blows me out of the water. I really can't understand that. Well, I was wanting to jump ahead into chapter 10. It's a marvelous chapter. All of them are, but this one really struck my heart. It's devoted to, quote, the strategic remnant. I happen to think that the remnant concept, and as you call it, the strategic remnant, is an overlooked truth to our detriment, unfortunately, and especially today. So tell us, first of all, what is the strategic remnant? And you mentioned Ernie from Romania and the remnant people even in the Nixon White House. So tell us first, what is the remnant?
That remnant people, the remnant are those who are remaining faithful to the Word of God, faithful to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in strategic situations. And so the story of Ernie was that a friend of mine in Washington who had a very large prayer ministry there used to bring people to my office for me to pray with and talk to. And I remember one day he called me and said that there was this man from one of the communistic nations, and he was in fact in the government. Could he bring him by the White House? And I said, do you mean you want me to do the regular things? I mean, that's an atheistic culture. And he said, yes, I want you to pray with him. I want you to do all of that. And so he brought Ernie in, and Ernie, turns out, worked for the foreign ministry of this particular government. And he came, he visited, we had this great time in the Lord together, fellowship in the Lord. Well, when my buddy got back to his office, I called him and I said, what in the world was that all about? How did that happen? He said, well, when I travel overseas and I travel in those Soviet nations, this is, of course, before the fall of communism, he said, I watch for people, and he said, I give out a little symbol, a little token that's in the shape of a fish or in the shape of a cross. And depending on how the person receives it, I know whether they're believers or not believers. And so he said, I pulled out the little temp symbol that I was going to give this man. And he said, stop, follow me. And he said, he took me out to a lake, and we rented a boat, and he rowed out to the middle of the lake. And he said, we had to get away from any listening devices because he wanted to talk seriously with my friend. And as my friend and he talked, my friend looked at him and he said, you know, my friend, God wants his man in the foreign ministry of Romania, which happened to be the country. God wants his man in the foreign ministry of Romania. And that man pointed to his chest and he said, I will be that man. I will be that man. Now, that's a remnant man taking the values of the Word of God, the principles of Scripture, the Lordship of Jesus Christ over his life, and extending that into the agency in which he was working. And this thought has been amplified. Well, it really got started intensely in me as I thought about 1863. And Abraham Lincoln and the Congress came together and jointly announced the day of prayer and fasting and repentance for America. We were in the throes of the Civil War. And Lincoln called the nation to repentance and prayer. And it began to occur to me, does that mean that every person in this nation has to repent before God releases forgiveness and his grace upon us? Does 100%, all of us have to do that? And then I was reminded of 2 Corinthians, where God says, and everybody can quote this now, if my people who are called by my name, this is the decisive remnant. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear and turn from their iniquities. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. So there's a parallel between the remnant and their seeking God and the release of God's blessings on the land. And then one day I worked briefly in the United States Congress for a year, and I went to the floor of the House of Representatives and watched the vote going on. And it hit me one day as I watched that these elected representatives, and the House of Representatives is the foundational level agency of government in the American structure, they literally represent the people of their district and the interests of those people. So when they vote, they're voting for the interest of their people. So I said, there's another remnant, this group that we send to Washington. But the church is the same thing. The authentic church, believers, authentic believers constitute the same thing. That's why it's strategic.
Yes, that's a great idea. In fact, I've read it many times, but I never really read it. You quote Philippians 4:22. It speaks about God's people in Caesar's household. You know, you would think that is not naturally a Christian-friendly household, but they're there.
They're there. The people who taste his soup and put his shoes on his feet, put his robe on him, they're there. They're believers.
Right. Well, I keep on getting pleasant surprises like that. I had the privilege of starting a church and then a Christian school in Pakistan. I went there the first time in 2009, and the church and the school are doing very, very well. And it was a great blessing to see Christians, many of them, in some very unfriendly places.
Yes, and I know you've had great experience with China. And there, even though the persecutions are great right now, there's a very powerful strategic remnant there that will not be defeated.
Right. Well, you tell the story of Nikolai Berdyaev, a Russian Jew who became a committed follower of Jesus, though he had been a dedicated Marxist. That's a tremendous story. Just share some of that with us, because I think in talking with you and in doing these programs, I think we are being greatly encouraged. You're bringing good news to us. But tell us about Nikolai Berdyaev.
Well, of course, he was one of the greatest of the philosophers, and still quoted by many, many people. But one of the things that Berdyaev began to contemplate was God's dealing with the Jews and God's moving in history. And as this great philosopher saw that, as he was able to piece it together, he was a man of truth. He was a man of honesty. And the only way he could really understand any of that was in light of whether or not God was engaging with human history. And when he realized that, when he saw that, then he not only gave his head to the Lord, he gave his heart to the Lord as well.
Wow. Well, Wallace, we are about out of time for this show, and we're certainly going to have you back for one more show. I'm really excited about that. And when we start the next show, I want to talk a little bit about your observations that show how Jesus' great prayer for his disciples actually reveals characteristics of remnant people. And I had never seen that before. It's on page 174. But friends, be sure to be with us for our next show. I think you will find that there are things that God is doing in our world, even in times of darkness. This whole concept of strategic remnant is very, very encouraging. And I've seen this in history. We see it today. Wallace mentioned it in China. We've seen it in Pakistan. We know that there are revivals happening now in some of the Islamic nations. So please tune in. This will certainly get your fire going, and that's a good thing. Well, Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of a most insightful book, Two Men from Babylon.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the beautiful hardback book by Wallace Henley titled Two Men from Babylon. You can have a copy for a gift of $30 if you live in the United States and $50 if you live in Canada. To order yours, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. And you can always order this book anytime online on our website at swrc.com. We also have another book by Wallace Henley that deals with revival and the end times. It is titled Call Down Lightning. You can have a copy for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Two Men from Babylon and Call Down Lightning, for a gift of $45. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
The Epoch Times, a conservative news outlet started by Chinese businessmen who fled communist China, featured a viewpoint story titled, I Grew Up in Communist China, Here's My Warning to America. The author of this piece, Dr. Diana Zhang, could not use her real name in order to protect her family members who are still in communist China. She writes that the whole world is closely watching the election. Some Chinese have commented, we thought China was going to become America. Instead, America is becoming China.
Well, that's very sad to me, Pastor Larry. Dr. Zhang observes that there are now a lot of things we cannot say in America. Political correctness is not a matter of choice. It is a, quote, survival skill. If you say one word wrong, you can lose your job. If you don't follow the mainstream narrative, you will get attacked by the mainstream media. It has reached such an extent that we should ask, do we still have freedom of speech? Close quotes.
It's good hearing from someone who has come to America from communist China. I hope we will consider Dr. Zhang's words. More specifically, I would hope that Joe Biden and the Democrats would carefully consider Dr. Zhang's words. I want to quote Dr. Zhang, quote, America reminds me of China. 50 years ago in communist China, if you made casual comments about the communists, you would end up in jail or in a labor camp. Someone who was at home and made one comment not in line with the Chinese Communist Party would be punished. A son would report on his father, a daughter on her mother, and a husband and wife on each other. Fear of the Communist Party and indoctrination by it had become a second human nature, pushing out natural feelings, close quotes.
So the question is, should we trust China communist leader Xi Jinping? The reason I ask that question is because Xi Jinping is calling for countries across the world to accept a global COVID-19 tracking system that uses tracking codes in an attempt to expedite international travel. Xi proposed the concept during a virtual G20 leaders meeting recently, noting that this global mechanism would use an electronic barcode that would help determine a traveler's health status. The system that Xi is pushing provides users with a color code based on their risk of exposure to the coronavirus, and the information can be communicated on mobile devices.
The potential for evil in this communist system is apocalyptic. Many people have correctly expressed concerns over the use of a global system that was designed by China's Communist Party. Those people have a notorious and well-documented reputation for using extreme methods to control people through censorship and surveillance. This is not a good idea. Kenneth Roth, executive director of Human Rights Watch, tweeted, quote, "Beware of the Chinese government's proposal for a global QR code system. An initial focus on health could easily become a Trojan horse for broader political monitoring and exclusion akin to the dangers associated with China's social credit system," close quote.
We have been bombarded with numbers in recent days. Election results, employment figures, economy highs and lows, and just a few daily reminders of how awful the COVID-19 pandemic is. The COVID-19 pandemic is indeed a terrible thing. If you, a friend or family member, have been infected, you know how bad it is. We do not discount that. But it is hard to keep a focus when we're given the infection and death rates on every newscast around the clock. How bad is it? Let's take a perspective view, shall we? We'll be using current figures as of November 9. 7,824,313,298 is the current world population. From that number, deduct 50,528,364 who have been taken in death so far this year. We'll look at the COVID numbers in a minute or two, but for now, consider 1,701,543,697 are overweight in our current world, and of these, 763,458,443 are obese. There have been 11,152,114 communicable diseases so far this year. That includes 420,363 seasonal flu deaths. While we had a war against AIDS a while ago, it's seldom mentioned, but AIDS and HIV are still taking more in death than the coronavirus is. 1,444,143 deaths have been caused by HIV/AIDS so far in 2020. Meanwhile, the lives of 36,567,142 babies were taken by abortion. 7,055,445 deaths caused by cancer. 9,031,385,460 cigarettes were smoked today. To add to the 4,294,508 deaths caused by smoking this year, 2,148,610 deaths were caused by alcohol, 1,159,654 road traffic accidents this year, obviously not caused by disease. So far in 2020, there were 1,266,974 coronavirus deaths, but there were also 35,947,341 coronavirus recoveries. That's 97% of all U.S. cases. Nearly 158 million were tested of almost 133 million Americans who are alive today. That's just under half the population. Now, for perspective, we just listed 9 categories of death. The highest number worldwide was for abortion, followed by all communicable diseases. The lowest was for seasonal flu, and the next lowest was for traffic fatalities. Where did coronavirus fit into the 9? Third from the bottom, 1,267,000. If we're so concerned about deaths, why is there nonstop concentration on corona when cigarettes and alcohol and other controllable drugs are allowed to be free to all? Could it be that they generate tax revenue? Maybe that's it. Could it be that focusing on corona scares us into being compliant little followers of whatever authority figure gives us instructions for our own good? Perhaps. Again, COVID-19 is taking a sad toll, but other things, maybe less fortunistic, are much more deserving of our attention if fatality numbers are our chief concern. Since figures can be easily manipulated to give a false impression, we need Proverbs 11:1, which reminds us a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight.
The Human Rights Campaign is urging Biden to pull the rug from under Christian organizations. It proposes the elimination of non-discrimination exemptions for Christian colleges that support traditional marriage and biblical views of human sexuality.
The request was part of the Human Rights Campaign's Blueprint for Positive Change, 85 legislative recommendations for the Biden administration. The purpose of these recommendations is to advance LGBT equality in the United States and around the world. These recommendations would undo the so-called damage done by the Trump administration.
A policy such as is being advanced by the HRC could force Christian organizations to close because they would lose their accreditation. If such a loss occurs, a degree from a Christian college would be worthless on the job market, and worthless for acceptance into advanced degree programs and other institutions of higher learning.
We can certainly see how things have been reversed. The Human Rights Campaign wants to protect gay rights at the expense of those who hold to a Judeo-Christian view of morality. This is not equality. It is domination by homosexual ideologues. The HRC's list of recommendations is even urging the passage of federal law controlling what therapists can say to LGBT clients.
Moreover, the HRC wants to ensure that LGBT demands for pronoun use and access to bathroom and restroom facilities consistent with gender identity is not undermined by religious exemptions. Joe Biden is talking about equality for all, but what he really means is equality for those who have views that have never been accepted by the vast majority of humans and are frowned on by major religions of the world.
God is the master of history, and He chooses the leaders that shape it. God uses the unusual to accomplish the unexplainable. Our special offer today takes a very insightful look at this phenomenon. Just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. And remember, you can find the answers to a lot of your questions by going to our website at swrc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Wallace Henley wrap up this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.